Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 722, the weekend's coming up. There have been two or three pretty dense, heavy podcasts about some major issues. And in spite of all that, the headlines haven't changed. And we are still talking about the things that we have been talking about for almost a year. So with no new wrinkles, I think it's a great time on the weekend to talk about something new and different and fun. And that is the shows I've been watching on HBO and Showtime and Netflix. And while that may seem trite, I think we're kind of undergoing a shift, and one of my bellwethers are these shows that I watch. You probably watch other shows, but everybody likes to talk about the shows that they watch and what they sometimes think about and what they mean. So you can email me with your ideas on the shows that you're watching at thebobdavispodcast@gmail.com, and we will get into it in podcast 722. Well, we went directly from winter to summer, as I have talked about in more than one podcast, and I'm sure I'll talk about it again because I'm fascinated with that whole process. But people have not even had a chance to rake their lawns yet and check the air conditioning box, because animals get in there, debris falls in there, and you might also have other kinds of problems with your air conditioning. So now that it is hot, people want to turn their AC on, and you want to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business come over and check it out, because when it comes to keeping all these systems up and running, you need someone that knows how to deliver reliable service. And that, of course, is Ryan Plumbing and Heating, because they've been doing this for four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul, metro-wide from good old St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations, as I mentioned. And while they're checking your AC, they can also check the other stuff, because this has been a tough winter. There could be plumbing problems. There can be other kinds of problems, heating issues that you might want to address later on this summer. And of course, AC issues, filters, things like that. Have Ryan check it all out. Let me give you the numbers one more time. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul and metro-wide from St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 in Invergrove, Plymouth, St. Louis Park, all over the metro, east and west, south St. Paul. Ryan can help you out with quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast and all the sources that it comes from. It's out there, syndicated to Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play. I've mentioned that both Google Home and Alexa can actually find the Bob Davis Podcast if you tell them. My friend Neil Seven, who installs televisions, I was over to his house this afternoon. He has a whole TV business. I'll tell you all about it. If you want, just email me at thebobdavispodcast.com. But he goes, dude, I can get your podcast super easy on Sonos. So if you have those Sonos speakers and you're controlling your speakers with your phone, and he goes, bang, 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 pulled the podcast right off Stitcher.com in like less than 15 seconds. I was like, that is awesome. So yes, you can get the podcast if you have Sonos. And I can tell you all about that after I learn a little bit more from Neil. I don't have Sonos because I don't really have speakers, but he has speakers all over his house. And he showed me how the whole thing works. So appreciate that. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and so forth on social media, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Also appreciate donations for Mobile Podcast Command, the Bob Davis Podcast Mobile Podcast Studio at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, I'm going to start out by saying that the best thing about summer for me is that I really don't wear shoes unless I absolutely have to, from whenever it gets warm till whenever it gets cold. So I'll be out here with no shoes on for the rest of the summer. And, you know, a month ago, we had 20 inches of snow on the ground in the upper Midwest, and now we have literally gone from winter right smack dab into summer. So just in the last week, we were talking about this morning. So Minnesota has something like 14 weeks of summer. Give or take. And some years it's like turning a switch on and turning a switch off. I mean, the seasons, and that's one of the things people like about living in Minnesota and living up in the northern part of the United States. The seasons are just like clockwork, and they are distinct and stark differences in each season. So spring is spring, summer is summer, winter is winter, fall is fall, and so forth. This year, we didn't really have a spring. It just literally popped right into summer. And in the last week, all these trees out here have just blown up. So we're full on summer. Now, in summer, I spend a lot of time on the deck. I work at home. I work out here on the deck. Late at night, because I'm a night owl, I sit and I watch lots of shows on television. In fact, I was saying to somebody the other day, I think it might have been the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast, my mom, what are you going to do tonight? I've got a lot of work ahead of me. I've got to watch several shows. So Sunday nights, I'm pretty much watching Billions. I'm watching Westworld. I'm watching Fear the Walking Dead. I'm watching whatever is coming out on Sunday night. And then once I exhaust all those, it's down to, you know, trying to find stuff on Netflix to watch. And I also have some new shows. So the last time I did this, I think I talked about Mad Men. I think I talked about Boardwalk Empire, sort of that spate of shows that came out in 2010 through about 2014-15. And there was a bunch of them, and I don't even remember them. That's the thing about this, is that you watch these, you don't even remember what show it was or where you saw it. And if you watch a lot of them, then you don't even remember which show you were watching or where you heard this, that, or the other thing. I watch them. I have a very specific work reason for watching them. I watch these shows because I think they are windows into the soul of America. That's how I described it recently. I think a lot of these shows are, and the shows that people watch really say a lot about the person. Back in the day, you know, the kind of car that you drove said a lot about who you were as a person. These days, it's the shows that you watch that really determine, what people are going to think of you. Are you a geek? Do you watch Game of Thrones? Are you a fantasy person? I had coffee with a friend, just the other day, and he was saying, he came up in the gaming industry, sort of the retail games industry, and he was saying, I've always been a geek, and it's kind of weird because I thought I was alone, and now, I go into Target and there's a whole section devoted to Game of Thrones. So whole sections to Star Wars when the new movies come out. These things are heavily merchandised. And for a while, they were pretty much crime shows. Southland was one that I loved, or they were period pieces like Mad Men, Boardwalk Empire, also a crime show. And historically, oddly enough, pretty correct. That was a crazy thing that I would look at an episode and I'd say, that can't have happened. And then that documentary on Prohibition came out that Ken Burns did, and I had read some books on Prohibition, but when I saw the Ken Burns documentary, a lot of the characters in Boardwalk Empire, which is an HBO show about the early years of Prohibition, so 1919 through on till almost the beginning of the Depression, so 1920 to 1929, 1930. And, as I have often said, I don't want to go too far into this because I did this in the last time. There were really two periods of Prohibition. There was the beginning when nobody even could believe that it was going to happen. And then people started to do this speakeasy thing. And speakeasies were very upscale and opulent and everything else. And then by toward the end of Prohibition, they were just gin places. And people were getting sick because they were putting out bathtub gin, quote unquote bathtub turpentine, literally, and stuff like that. And it went from bad. And there's a whole thing about that in New York, that the early speakeasies were very opulent, and then by the end of Prohibition, they were just holes where people went to get drunk, and people got really drunk because they weren't drinking spirits that were distilled with any degree of standards. They were literally drinking paint, as they referred to it, and that's kind of neat. That was kind of a neat thing to look at, and I think I may have talked about what's that show that. Narcos is another crime show that is really well done, that started with the whole, it's really Killing Pablo. So if you read the book Killing Pablo, then it seems like that was kind of the genesis for that show. But now they're going on 3 or 4 seasons, and the next one's going to be about the development of the Mexican cartels. So it's kind of factual, and it goes back to the whole Colombian situation with Pablo and then the Cali cartel. And then as we progress through, you're just seeing the beginnings of the Mexican cartels. What's cool about it is you get you're getting kind of a historic, dissertation about how this drug problem kind of developed. And before, it wasn't really all in one place. So you had to watch documentaries like, Cocaine Cowboys 1 and Cocaine Cowboys 2, which are on Netflix, which are fabulous, in terms of understanding the history of the prohibition of drugs, basically, and how it has produced these incredibly weird, anomalies, like these extremely wealthy criminal gangs that are the dark equivalent of guys who are making billions of dollars in Silicon Valley. That's one of the things that's just fascinating to me about it. But I found some new shows, and I want to talk about those new shows as I take a little walk here in my bare feet, because I'll be in my bare feet now for the rest of the summer, and late at night, I like to walk. So, as you know, I've been doing a lot of business stuff. If I'm not watching television, I'm either doing a podcast or working on business stuff. And one of the things I have learned about business is cash flow is really, really important. And I'm working with a new company that is a payment processor, and I'm pretty excited about ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com. If you are a business and you're looking at building in some more back office stuff, if you are talking about payment processing to get a better deal on your credit card payments, if you're a developer and you develop websites, developers are geeks, and you guys are probably watching just as many TV shows as I do, this message is for you. So, ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been doing this for 20 years at least. They've been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than 2 decades. So, if you're developing an e-commerce site for a client, if you're developing back office systems for a client, they want to talk to you because you can save your client lots and lots of money if you use ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. And the best part is, if you call them, small businessmen, developers, whatever, you're going to talk to a human being. So if you call 866-243-5040, that's 866-243-5040 at ReliaFund, you will talk to Kevin Hill or you'll talk to Greg Lowry. These are great guys and they can help you save money on credit card payments. They can help you save money with payment processing. That is what they do, and they do it well. Check them out online at ReliaFund.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, and that will connect you to them. One more time for the number, 866-243-5040, ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. And no, we're not going to be talking about politics, but when we do, this trade protection thing continues to come up. And if you are a company that does a lot of manufacturing overseas, you kind of might be hedging your bet, either bringing some of your manufacturing back to the U.S. or thinking about it. And I would urge you to take a look at Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. These are great guys. They do medical devices, they do avionics, and they do just standard CNC-type manufacturing. So check them out online at depostar.com, D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, depostar.com. If you want to know more, email me at thebobdavispodcast@gmail.com, and I will hook you up with the guys at Depostar. The grass is a little cool yet and a little spongy because the tundra is still somewhat frozen. And I haven't done anything to the lawn because it's still too wet. You can't really break the lawn when it's like this. So it's the smells of the rotting leaves from winter and, the early smells of spring. And if you notice, no bugs. So we don't really have any bugs yet. So they're going to be coming out. Every day that it's over 75, you know that the bugs are going to be coming out very soon. So they're out, but there's not enough of them that you can hear it. On a summer night at a certain time, usually right after dusk, if you are in a place where there are a lot of mosquitoes, you know, it's fascinating to me how you can sit in a very and be very quiet and in a quiet place, and you can hear the buzz of millions and millions of mosquitoes. It's kind of like a tone. It's really cool. Anyway, so I don't want to go on and on about the weather in this podcast. I'm setting the stage. It is the velvet smoothness of the late night. There is no moon. The stars are out. The sky is completely clear. It is warm. It is summer. The scent of summer and spring is in the air. And it's a great, hope you have a great weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. So what are the new shows? I mentioned Narcos, which I think is an important show. And I want to preface this by saying, so the entire television and movie industry is in a complete uproar and tumult. And part of the reason is because the technology of how we use media is changing. We consume media in completely different ways, and that is really gathering speed. I talked to a friend tonight that for his work, they put in a new TV system at one point, and they put this whole new TV system in like 2010, and it was still put together with cables, so those S connectors, and it was still put together with cables. It wasn't didn't use Wi-Fi, didn't use internet-capable televisions. In other words, it wasn't digital, but it was pretty state-of-the-art at the time. And it's fascinating because they are going to have to completely redo this whole system because it needs to be digitized. So they have to put new TVs in and get rid of the wires and the whole kit and caboodle. And that's how fast technology is changing. So if you think back to 2010, we were all still using and marveling at iPhone 4s and, you know, Galaxy, whatever they are, 5s and 6s and 7s. And the new phones, whether they're Androids or iPhones, the new pads, those portable, highly portable devices are extremely powerful. So people are now starting to watch these shows because you can get Showtime on, you can get HBO Go or HBO Now and Showtime Go or whatever it's called. I don't know. You can get completely portable versions of these providers, these content providers, and you can watch these shows on your iPad. You can watch them, you know, on your phone if you want. And then, of course, and I've often talked about YouTube as a huge factor, because YouTube, of course, people spend a lot of time watching YouTube. Now, you can't watch the, I don't think you can watch these shows on YouTube. Maybe you can. I don't know. I don't think I want to do that. But the technology is rapidly evolving, and more people are watching Netflix, and more people are pulling. They're out of the whole broadcast paradigm. So I don't like DirecTV, and I'll tell you why. I don't like DirecTV, and I'll give you a perfect reason why I don't like DirecTV. I really dislike that interface. You have to, and then it's the whole bundling and the mixing and the matching where you got to get DirecTV and you got to get the whole package. And then you have to go through and you have to click down through each channel to see what's on. It drives me nuts. Now, of course, there are, DVRs and people can record shows, and a lot of people do that. I prefer, instead of recording them, because I don't want to set up the DVR, you know, I prefer to just pull it off of Netflix or HBO or even iTunes and just watch it that way. I know it's expensive, but I can watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it, which is the whole thing about podcasting and YouTube and television on demand. You know, we should be able to watch whatever we want, rather than having to wait for Star Trek to come on, or wait for Adam 12 to come on, or wait for Miami Vice to come on, or wait for some, you know, Third Rock from the Sun or whatever to come on, or Will and Grace to come on back like we used to have to do. Don't have to do that anymore. If you want to watch a new show, you just pull it up and watch it. And now the broadcast television industry is starting to have a lot of problems where they're trying to bring back old shows to get people to come back to broadcast television or spend some. Roseanne kicked up a lot of controversy this year because, it's basically a redux of an old show. They're also going to bring back Will and Grace. They're going to bring back Murphy Brown. These are all shows from like the 80s and 90s. 90s even, but mostly the 80s, that I just think it's weird that they do that. So if you spend time watching HBO or pulling stuff off iTunes, or even if you're going to rip it, a lot of people rip stuff, you are able to watch something like 145 dramatic shows, which are produced exclusively for these services, HBO, Showtime, Netflix, Hulu, right? So we had The Handmaid's Tale this year, and of course the biggest television thing, I think, in the last year was probably Westworld, which is, I believe Westworld is really an important show. I think it's dealing with some really crazy anxieties that people have about technology. And at the same time, it might actually be prescient, because some of those concerns about technology are pretty significant. So I think Westworld's really an important show. I've been just, every week when one of those comes out, I watch it. Shows like House of Cards, which now is over because of the whole Kevin Spacey thing, and of course Homeland, are really interesting because they got, and this is what I think is fascinating. So you would watch Homeland because it was like fantasy. Oh, this crazy stuff that happens on Homeland would never happen in real life. Oh, this crazy stuff. House of Cards isn't like real politics. But it is. And it turned out that those shows got swamped by actual real developments, that truth becomes stranger than fiction, and they got swamped by that. I think that's amazing. Billions is the same thing. So there's a whole BDSM, bondage, sadomasochism thing going on in Billions, which is, Billions is a really interesting show because the first season, I think there's two seasons, maybe three. So the first season, yeah, there's three seasons. The first season, you're watching it, and I don't know about you, but I watched the show. So the guy that was in Homeland, that was the redheaded stepchild that did the terrorist stuff, that no one likes this guy, which is why they cast him in Billions. I forget his name, and I don't care. You know who I'm talking about. He's English, but he always plays American, so he speaks with an American accent, but the guy is English. So it's really interesting, that part of it. But no one likes this guy. He was the lieutenant who became the colonel in Band of Brothers. So that's his gig. He's a very good, I think, dramatic actor. But he's not someone who is well-liked. And I think that's why they cast him for this. And, I mean, I don't know, but I would think that. So you think he's a villain. And then, of course, the New York, the Eastern District, New York State prosecutor is trying to get the guy who's the hedge fund billionaire who's the villain. Well, I always looked at the prosecutor as the villain, and for me the guy who is the hero is the hedge fund guy. But the portrayal of all these traders and their approach to life is really refreshing in an odd sort of libertarian way, because the traders are, you know, more inclined to be a little bit more oriented towards freedom and, like, screw them, they can't tell us what to do and that kind of a thing. That's a great show. And I think there's a lot of interesting commentary on, you know, our society on that show. But Maureen Dowd just wrote a piece for the Washington Post, I think, this last weekend, saying, you know, if you'd have told me that this stuff, that there would be a bondage and sadomasochistic, storyline in reality in American politics, I would have told you you were crazy, because she was talking about Billions. And in fact, just this last week, of course, the Attorney General of New York had to resign because of just that same kind of a problem. So these are really interesting things, because is this life imitating art, or is this art imitating life, or are these writers, Aaron Sorkin, for example, but there's other writers, are they really on it when it comes to some of these shows and the way that they're, you know, building the plot lines in these shows? Because I think there's a lot there. And I'm talking about Westworld and its obsession with artificial intelligence and what that means and where that can go. And then I watch that show, and then I sit there and I see all these stories about the sex robots but more importantly, I don't know if you saw the Boston Mechanics or whatever that company is that makes robots. They've got a robot that runs now, and it looks like a person running. And they've got, it's just, we as a society, we've got so many amazing things that are happening that it's just, this stuff is happening below the surface because we're concentrated on and obsessed with what is going on in Washington, in particular with the president and the Russians and everything, as though that is the only story. That's the only thing anybody's talking about. And they are making advances in having anti-aging drugs. They are making advances in robotics. They are making advances in artificial intelligence. And some of these robots are now becoming almost indistinguishable from human beings. And it's only a matter of time before the artificial intelligence catches up with that. It's a theme in Westworld. It's a theme in Silicon Valley, which I think is a great show. It's a comedy. It's fun to watch. It's 30, there are 30 minutes, and I love the storylines. And I'm not even suggesting that it's an accurate portrayal of Silicon Valley, but it's really well done, I think. And then Westworld, of course, dealing with these themes, artificial intelligence and robotics and the things that people are really anxious about in our society. What am I going to do when farming and when manufacturing can be done by some kind of robotic device? And speaking of comedies, I want to talk about a show that I'm watching that I really think is great, and I don't think that many people are watching it. It's going into its second season. It's called I'm Dying Up Here, and I think it is on, I think it's on HBO. By the way, there's a whole bunch of other ones. There's this show called Animals. I don't even know where to get that. There's a show called The Chi, which is about Chicago, which I have not watched. There's a show about a comedian that I haven't watched. And then, of course, I mentioned probably in the previous podcast I did about shows, I've been watching The Deuce, which is about Times Square back in the 70s and the birth of the porn industry, which people find distasteful. They say they think that's horrible. And I'm going to just give you a statistic. And this is not me, but I think this is fascinating. So everyone's all upset about the porn industry being portrayed in The Deuce as some kind of, you know, fun thing. And by the way, that is not what happens in The Deuce. It is not portrayed as a fun thing. It's portrayed in all of its seedy and disgusting glamour, so to speak. But I saw a thing just the other day that the internet, still the most traffic websites on the internet, by far and away more than any other type of website. This is after all the talk about Breitbart and, you know, Axiom and, you know, all these LifeZet and all these websites that are put up to, you know, be propaganda sites and everything else. The most traffic websites in America and the world, but especially in the United States, are still porn sites. You know, and to me, that's fascinating. And yet, we've got this show that is a fairly accurate portrayal of the history. It's a piece of history of organized crime. It's a piece of history of society. It's a piece of history of New York and Times Square. My son lives in New York now, and he's young, and he saw that show, and he was like, I had no idea that that's what Times Square used to be. People deny it, and they say, well, this is terrible. This is a terrible show. And then you turn and you hear a statistic like that, that porn is still the number one thing trafficked on the internet. So that, to me, is fascinating. In other words, there is a social denial of reality by this is all part of the delusion. And I'm sure there are people that would say, well, the delusion is watching all these shows. I'm watching this, A, because I love them. B, media, people use media for different reasons. So sports television, sports events, you know, McLuhan referred to them as cooling down and heating up. So you heat up, I guess. I think it's heat. You cool medium is television. So this is the best way to describe it is that people would watch the evening news before they went to bed back in the day. And then they would watch Johnny Carson because the pitter patter and the fun and the relaxed atmosphere of the Johnny Carson show kind of cooled off and balanced out the difficulty of watching the Vietnam War on television. That's the best way to explain it. Well, we have far more angst in our society today. And so the people are cooling down with their favorite shows from wherever they're from. Like I said, 145 full-scale produced dramas. We've come a long way from the days of The Sopranos and Breaking Bad in terms of product. It's usually, and I'm just going to say this, most of the time, some of these shows that are little shows, sometimes vibes are really, really good. And so there's this show on HBO that I think is really good, and it's going to get lost in the whole Westworld, you know, thing. But that is a show called I'm Dying Up Here, which I have told everybody to watch. And it's about the 70s. It's about the growth and development of the comedy industry, so to speak, and sort of the beginning of stand-up. And you see Richard Pryor portrayed, and you see other comedians that I don't know who they are. I was never a fan of... I'm not going to say I'm not a fan of comedy, because I sound like a horrible person, but I'm a drama person. I love watching drama. I love watching history. So if you combine drama with history, I'm there. I love watching documentaries, and usually historic documentaries. And I spend half the time looking stuff up on my phone while I'm watching those shows, so that's what I enjoy watching. Other people like watching comedy. My son loves comedy shows, and he loves comedies, not dramas. But here is the gist of what I'm trying to say in this podcast with all of this, and you can check these shows out. I'm Dying Up Here is an interesting show, and I think it's unique because it's just fun, and there's lots of drama in that show. And the reason is, if you start watching it, these people, these comedians, very distasteful people, asses, to be quite honest with you, not nice people in general. And the only way that I can relate to this is radio, where we were not very nice people in radio. And I think part of it is that it's such a difficult thing to do. It's such a difficult business and a difficult thing to do. I'm not comparing radio at all with stand-up, because it's a different medium and it's a little bit easier to kind of stand and deliver and talk radio or be a disc jockey or something like that. When you have to stand up in front of a crowd and make people laugh, you are, you know, you're naked to the world. And so the people that do it really, it takes everything they've got. You look at what Robin Williams did, and you wonder why he kind of was a little crazy there. Same thing with Jonathan Winter in terms of his ability as a comic. These guys have had horrible personal lives. Richard Pryor is a great example. Brilliant guy, just a disaster in terms of his personal life, because that's how it is. It's kind of the rock and roll of drama, so to speak. And I think that's fascinating. But this show is great because it's fun, but it's got a bite to it. And I think, I'm watching these shows, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I think there's something changing. I think there is a change going on in society. I think people are starting to turn away. I think people want to be entertained. I think they're reaching the point where they have just about had it with the drama from Washington, the drama from, you know, the world, the drama with all this constant. They're literally tuning it out. I just have that feeling. I've alluded to it in a couple of podcasts. I just have this sense that people are starting to tune out the Mueller investigation and the crazy thing that Trump did today and the constant reporting about it on MSNBC and Fox News and this constant drub of this political stuff that doesn't seem to go anywhere. And this is the danger of creating literally political wallpaper, where people are just like, you know what, because I'm there. I'm as much of a political freak as anybody, as much of a political junkie as anybody, and I don't even want to turn it on anymore. I don't want to read the news stories. I mean, I go through this, I have the same, you know, I still look at all the news and I see what's going on. I read those stories and I'm intrigued by some things, but in general, you know, I just turn away from it. And maybe this is just me, but I have the sense that this show, I'm Dying Up Here, and there's a couple other ones too. Because, you know, last year we have some very heavy dramas that are escape, really. They're almost escape. But I think the worm is starting to turn on all this drama. And I'm watching this show, I'm Dying Up Here, and I'm thinking to myself, because it's a funny show. I mean, the comedians in this show get together at the diner every night after, you know, they're done every morning, actually, after they're done doing their stand-up. And the insults that fly back and forth and the situations are really well done. They're funny. You know, you watch it, you laugh. If you watch it again in 2 years, you're still going to laugh because they're funny lines. And I'm wondering whether people are starting to get to the point where I think the show's a hit, to be quite honest with you. I think it's one of the best shows on HBO. And I, you know, how much more drama, you know, gut-wrenching, end of the world, we have to save the country drama can we have on Homeland? Or House of Cards is gone, of course. But I just think people are starting to come to a point where they want to escape and see something different. Narcos even, you know, because Narcos is heavy, but Narcos was so focused on Latin America that it's great. Like, I want to go to Colombia now because I watched Narcos. And it's like, this is really cool looking, you know. And I know somebody from Colombia, and I was like, is that the presidential palace in that show? And she's like, no, that's probably a hotel. That is not the presidential palace. But see, you become interested in the history of Colombia and the whole thing by watching these shows. And I think they're great. And I know a lot of people are like, that's, you don't need to watch that stuff. But it's like, it's not, I'm not watching the news because I don't care. Because I can find the news anytime. I'm not going to sit there and watch the Weather Channel and be frightened because it rained in Hawaii or something. I'm not going to watch these political screaming fests that go on. I get heavy traction watching these shows because I think about so many things when I watch them, if they're good shows. Now, there's a bunch of shows on Netflix. You watch them for 1 minute and you're like, I'm out. There's a show called Rain on Netflix, which is actually pretty good. It's, you know, don't expect much. And then, of course, documentaries. There's a documentary on Elvis, I think, on HBO that's amazing. I can't wait for the Whitney movie to be on there. And then, of course, if you go to iTunes, you can pull stuff down. Don't even get me started about the two Walking Dead shows. Fear of the Walking Dead is a little bit better than The Walking Dead, but I'm getting a little tired. And I mean, this is what I mean. I'm getting a little tired of the angst and drama of wandering around the country with every, oh yeah, here's another town where everything's, you know, dilapidated, and they're going to go in this, don't go in there, and the zombies are going to attack them, and now, instead of zombies, they're attacking each other. And it's like, you know, I am so tired of this. You know, I just want to laugh. I want to find something funny. I want to find an escape. I want to cool down from the madness. And that's really the whole point, is to try to control the madness, and control the madness by heating up and cooling down, enjoying these many shows that are on television. There's a change. There's a change in broadcast television. There's a change in movies, which I didn't really get a chance to talk too much about. Because honestly, I watch these shows. I don't go to movies anymore. I don't have to. I can watch, you know, 8 or 9 billions, or I can watch the whole season of Homeland. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. And I wonder if you feel it too. And if you do, send me an email at thebobdavispodcast@gmail.com, and I'll respond to you. I'd love to hear what shows you're watching. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. Get your AC checked and have them check all the other systems, because it's been a tough winter and you want to make sure all that stuff works for fun this summer with people at graduation parties and people getting married. You want to make sure you can get water and that the toilet's flush and everything else. Call them at 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488 Metro wide from St. Paul. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. You can also check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 722. Some of the shows I'm watching and the angst and the changes in entertainment. And guess what? It's like 1:30 and I've got a lot of television viewing ahead for me. So I'm going to have to go. Bye-bye. Oh my God, I almost forgot. I had to talk about Evil Genius. Yeah. Yeah, let's watch Evil Genius.
Today, the stories of two murder cases. One in Georgia, one in Colorado.
Let's make some coffee.
Brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, yet nothing crossed my mind. And I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. But you don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street.